Hey there, I'm Sandy Scarlatta, and welcome to the Happiness Solve podcast. Twice a week, we explore the journey to finding true happiness by sharing inspiring stories, practical tips, and insightful conversations with some of today's leading experts. But we don't just scratch the surface. We dive deep into the real grit of what it takes to live a genuinely happy life. Whether you're looking to improve your well-being, enhance your relationships, or simply add more joy to your life, you're in the right place. So grab your favorite beverage, get comfortable, and let's dive into today's episode. Because happiness is a choice, and the choice is yours. Stacey Johnson, such a pleasure to have you on today. How's it going?
Sandy, thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for this conversation because I love everything that you're doing. I love all my guests, but it's like, I just love having these conversations with people that speak my language. So for the audience, Stacey is a women empowerment coach and resilience mentor, and she's also the founder of Anchor Resilience and Illumination Journey. So I love what you're doing, and we need more people in the world like you helping people because these are such important things to help us navigate in this crazy world.
Right. Yeah.
So before we dive in, because you've got so many great things that I want to touch on, can you give us your backstory and how you got to the point where you're like, I got to do this. I'm all in. I need to share my message and my wisdom with the world.
Yeah. So I've actually been a clinical therapist for 25 years in the state of Ohio. I've always worked in, I was a therapist and a supervisor in a alternative school. So I always worked with kids, but I always had some other mental health backgrounds. Like I was working in the local hospital in the ER. I've worked in a mental health center. And like it'll be almost 4 years in November. My husband had passed away. And
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. And at that time, I had to double down on some of my own skills, you know, from all the trainings that I've had. And so that's when, and I really, and it was about 6 months after he had passed that my daughter was like, Mom, you know, thank you. And I'm like, what? And she's like, you have shown us how to manage stress, you know, in a very positive way. Because shortly after he passed, you know, I went back to work. She graduated from high school. I got her into college, you know, and so the resilience that was shown to my kids, you know. And so then about 9 months to a year after he passed, I was like, I need more income. And so I started working as more in private practice therapy. I was doing some telehealth and still working at the school. And I was working with a lot of women that either had a loss themselves or a trauma or just, you know, working women that were overwhelmed and stressed and burnt out, that I decided, you know, I want to do more. I want to do more than what I'm doing. I'd been at the position that I was at for 20 years, and I really didn't see a lot of transformation. And so I wanted to see that transformation. I wanted to see the work that I was doing, helping others make a, you know, change the life that they were having. And so that's when I decided that I would resign from a 20-year position and start my coaching business. And that's when I, you know, wrote my Anchor, you know, I wrote a program for my Anchor Resilience program. I created my Illumination Journey toolkit. And that's when I decided that I wanted to help more. I wanted to do more. And coaching allows me to get beyond the state of Ohio and help other women.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I was planning on becoming a therapist, right? And I found life coaching first. And so I got certified to be a life coach. And then it was like, you know, I want to help people go from here to the next level, right? You know, therapy serves a purpose. Mm-hmm.
And it really, really helps. I mean, I was in therapy for over 15 years, and I'm so grateful for that experience and what I learned about myself and what I learned about the industry at the same time. And yeah, like people really, you know, the things that we go to therapy for, generally speaking, that's just a temporary thing. Once you work past it, then you need the tools. Like, oh yeah, by the way, yeah, now I feel better. Now I got to get out there and you know, move on in life. And what I wrote down here when you were talking about the resilience that your daughter was so grateful for that you showed after your husband passed, and I wrote resilience, finding the strength within, because that's mm-hmm. really what it is. When you're talking about resilience on any level, whether it's in sports, because I work with athletes, so I always throw sports in, whether you're working with sports or, you know, having a death in the family or losing a job or, you know, going through a divorce, all of that resilience is finding that strength that we all have within us.
Right.
Ah, I love numbers. I just finished saying that, and my phone just turned to 11:11. Love it. but how did you find that strength? Because my gosh, you know, losing your husband, and then having to, okay, you still got to be there for your daughter. And
right.
Do you have more than one child?
Yes, we have two daughters.
Yeah, and so you had to be there for both of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I did, you know, and they were having some medical conditions going on. So it was like managing that. 3 weeks before my husband passed, my stepfather passed, and my mom needed assistance at times. She's pretty independent, and but she struggles with an eye condition that has caused blindness in the one eye. So there are times that she needed, you know, me to drive her to her longer distance eye appointments or things like that. And at first, I think I just was like, this is what you have to do. Like,
right.
You just have to do this because this is what we do. You know, like you can't sit in bed. But then I really started to also recognize that like my self-care was important. So I got myself back into, you know, my own exercise classes. And I also learned that, you know, recognizing my own feelings. And so like the grief still existed, but I think that resilience piece allowed me to, you know, where I found that strength was one, recognizing my own emotions and, you know, recognizing that they are feelings that I can exist with, but I don't have to allow the feelings to control all of my thoughts or my actions, that I can be in charge. So if I felt sad, like I don't need to like lay in bed and dwell on what my life looked like, you know, or what was happening. What can I do now? What can I, you know, what can also be joyful even though I had the sadness, you know? And so looking at, you know, the thoughts that I had, having a different mindset, there was just a lot of things that I doubled down on. You know, because I am a therapist, I do have, you know, different techniques that I've learned that are also science-backed, you know, in regards to cognitive restructuring and mindset. But then my regulating my nervous system, I knew was important as well, you know. And so that's kind of where the strength, I think at first it came from, this is what you have to do.
Yeah.
Then when I was like, wait a minute, you know, like, how do I also take care of myself when I also have to take care of everybody else? Because it would have been very easy. You know, we've had other friends that did not manage their loss as well, you know, like
Sure.
you know, negative coping in regards to either staying in bed or using, you know, alcohol as like a relief. And my kids were like, you didn't do that, Mom. Like you just, you know, you just did. And at first I think that's what I just did. You know, that was like what my brain told me I needed to do. But then I really started to be like, no, I'm doing this, but there's also another way that I can also make sure that I'm taking care of myself too.
Yeah, for sure. And because of your therapy background, that really helped you. And at the same time, you've gone through this and you've experienced it. And that wisdom is so powerful to empower other women and other people to have that resilience. But when you were talking about, you know, sitting there thinking about, okay, here I am. My husband has passed. I've got two daughters. You know, I've got to get the one into college. You know, you've got to be there for them. They just lost their father, right? Which is a big deal. Big deal for any child, right? And it had me thinking about, you know, humans are the only creature that we're aware of, but we're pretty aware that we are the only creature on this planet that is able to reflect. And it's a good thing, and it can be a really bad thing, right? It's nice to sit and think of all the wonderful memories, and it really messes us up because we tend to dwell on, oh my gosh, I lost my job, or oh, what if I had done this, or what if I had, you know, the what ifs come in, and learning how to navigate that, that's where you come into play. So can you just talk a little bit about how you dive into that emotional resilience with your clients?
Yes. You know, and I spent, you know, the first couple weeks, I know I asked myself, like, what if I would have done this? What if this? And I also kept asking myself, like, what if something happens to me? Because now it's real. Bad things can happen. And so I was like,
it's that wake up call, like, oh shit, this is life. This is real life happening to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Bad things can happen. And so what if something happens to me before, like who's going to make sure that they're okay? So recognizing one thing that I work with in with my clients is that cognitive reframing, you know, catching those negative thoughts and then reframing it, but then also focusing on, because the one thing about, again, humans is that our brain likes to focus on the problems.
Yep.
That's,
it's,
you know,
in our DNA.
Right. Our brain
it's
is
not going away. It's there. You can't like rewrite that. We don't know how to do that. We can't do any gene resequencing to get that out. I wish we could. But it serves a purpose, right?
It does. It serves us a purpose. But what if statements or like, you know, what happens to me also is one of our ways that our brain, again, is trying to solve that problem. But it's not a problem that we have to solve now. And so I started saying, instead of what if, I started saying, what can I do right now? And so then like, and that's what I help my clients do is like focus, you know, becoming more mindful, using mindfulness to be more grounded and in the moment. Because if we're grounded more in the moment, we learn that we can let these thoughts of what ifs or I should have done this, we teach our brain to let those float away and focus more on this moment. So getting grounded and using mindfulness allows us to be more centered in that moment. And so, and that's what I did was for myself, but that I teach my clients is restructuring that brain, learning, retraining it that we are in control of, you know, what we're thinking right now. And so, and that's what I did, you know, like when I first thought like, what happens to me? Well, I can't control my own destiny. I for sure can't do that. But what I can control was making sure that I had things, you know, in order enough for them. You know, my fear was based on like, okay, emotionally, I don't know what I can do for them if something would happen to me prematurely, like they experienced with their father, but I can make sure that I have my finances in order so that they are financially in a spot to handle things. And so that's what I made sure of. That's the part that I could control. And so when I help my clients, and like I did with myself, is focusing on what we do have control over instead of focusing on all those things that we have no control over.
Right. And that's such a great point to bring up, Stacey, because there's so many things that are out of our control. But people, they get so caught up in that moment and thinking about this. And you brought up a good point. We can control our thoughts. And all it is a practice. You just have to practice it every day, just like you're practicing golf or you're practicing, for me, I practice tennis. I practice happiness. I've been practicing happiness for over 35 years, and I never knew that that was a practice. I choose to be happy every single day. It's a choice. Are there days when I made the other choice? Absolutely. Am I happy every day? No, I'm not.
Right.
But I know how to get back to it. But there are days, you know, there are days when you just want to just sit there, and that's okay, because sometimes we have to sit in it so that we don't go over it, around it, you know, or whatever. You got to work through those feelings. And sometimes it does take a day to do that. And that's okay. And we have to give ourselves grace and understand that we can move forward.
Right.
And things don't have to be the way they are right now. Right.
Right. And again, because problems, you know, our brain focuses on the problems, and the problems tend to be things that we sometimes can't control. And so, you know, we can control being happy. And so the other thing that I work on, and I worked on in the beginning after losing my husband, but I always tell my clients, sandwich your day with, identify three things that you're grateful for in the morning or you appreciate. And then you end your day reflecting on three things that brought you joy or three things that you accomplished during the day, big or small.
Yes.
You know, and so then again, it's retraining our brain to focus on things that brought us joy or make us happy versus, oh, those three things went wrong today, you know. And so retraining our brain is the big piece.
Yeah. Well, I'm a type A, high achiever. And so I realized at one point, at the end of the day, I'd be like, I didn't do this, I didn't do this, I didn't do this, I didn't do this. Because for me, I place so much value on what I accomplish. And right. So now at the end of the day, I'm like, oh my gosh, I got two loads of laundry done. Yes. You know, right. And I did this and I did that. And that's all I focus on, and I don't allow it. So I want to get into nervous system regulation. But before that, you talked about that control. And like so often we feel like things are out of our control. And for me, I do have anxiety. And sometimes I can control it, and sometimes it's hard. And especially when there's so many things going on around me, and I get to a point where I feel like there's so much that's out of my control, and I start to feel like I don't know what to do. So what I learned decades ago, like that's the day I organize my pantry. That's the day I organize my closet, and I do something. And a therapist told me this. I focus my energy when I'm in that state on what can I control? What can I do right now to control? Because it helps me feel better. Right. And in a way, I didn't understand this, but in a way, that was me regulating my nervous system.
Right. Yep.
And I worked with a coach for 18 months, and we did some exercises on that. And I was completely, and that's why I have this podcast, because there's so much I don't know. And I, you know, I've been on this path for 35 years. I'm like, oh, there's a thing called nervous system regulation. Like, I had no idea, right? Like the 15 years of therapy, they didn't bring it up. So I didn't know. But now I get that, like that organizing or organizing my pantry or, you know, cleaning out my closet, like that's a way to you know, regulate my nervous system. What are some other things that people can do when they're in that state of feeling like everything is out of control? Because we all have been there. And it's a scary place to be.
Right, right.
What are some ways that we can, you know, regulate that nervous system?
Yeah. So, you know, the way I look at my nervous system is that everything is connected, right? So our brain, we're talking about our brain and how powerful it is. And so when those days that you were, you know, you feel like you're out of control or you can't control anything, that distraction of focusing on what you can control was partly taking your brain away from thinking about all of those things, that noise out here, but
that
then
I can't control.
Right. Right. So your brain, you distracted it and you took it away from the fear, because the things that we can't control tend to be fear-based.
1,000%.
Yep. And so when we distract our brain, we are telling ourselves that I'm safe. Right now I'm safe and there is nothing to be afraid of. But then also the physical piece was regulating your nervous system, because our nervous system is, it's all connected. And so when I work on nervous system regulation, you know, sometimes my clients will be like, well, I exercise, but I'm still feeling all anxious. I said, because your brain itself believes that there's that still that fear. There's that perception that there's the fear is still there.
So which is the fight or flight, right?
Right. So we have to work together. We have to do the cognitive piece and maybe that physical piece, you know? And so I also, you know, will work with my clients in working on like a self-care plan, because putting a self-care plan into our day can also be that piece that's regulating our nervous system. And so like even just some deep breaths during the middle of the day, you know, or if we're having those thoughts in the middle of the day, you know, it's like, you know, you were in a position that, you could distract yourself and maybe organize your pantry. But if you are someone that maybe you're a nurse and you know, you can't like just go and organize the pantry that day. So what can you do is one, can I focus on right now? You know, like what is my problem that I need to focus on now? So again, we might be able to distract our brain about, you know, taking it away from that fear. But then also sometimes I say, you know, deep breaths. I use square box breathing, where we focus on a box and, you know, breathe in for four, let it out, hold it for four, let it out for four, hold it for four, do that a couple times. But then also sometimes we also need to like signal to our brain that I'm fine. And so even breathing with like a, and like moving our hands signals to our brain, like I'm letting out this worry. It's not mine to focus on. So I look at different techniques, physical activities, but also that cognitive restructuring to help regulate that nervous system. Because again, our nervous system is in, it's perceiving that there's fear. So our fight or flight is kicked in. And then, you know, that basically the nervous system is our one side of our brain. The one side of our nervous system is for rest and digest. And the other nervous part of our nervous system is that fight or flight. And so they're fighting against each other when our nervous system is dysregulated and we can't. So it's that restructuring, but then also those relaxation techniques or something that physical that will help our body indicate that we don't need to be in that fight or flight, that there's nothing to be afraid of right now. Mm.
So I want to completely shift gears, but I feel like it's all related. And that is, and this is just another topic that you work with women on. And I love this because I think it's really, really important for women, is leadership under pressure. Because even if you're if you are grateful enough and fortunate enough to be a stay-at-home mom, okay, that's a leadership role.
Right.
All right. You're leading your children. You're leading your family. So I don't want to minimize that at all, because I did it for 10 years and I'm so grateful and wouldn't take it back for the world. Leadership under pressure, it's so hard. And I feel like for women, it's even harder, because we are wired that maternal instinct is in everybody, whether you have children or not, whether you want to have children or not. It is. If you're female, you've got that maternal instinct. You want to take care of people. And it's very difficult when you have that pressure. So what types of things can women do, or any leader, to help them to still be stepping up as the leader that they want to be for everybody as you're going through so much pressure in your life?
Yeah. It's a good question. You know, and you're right. I mean, even from the earlier on times, you know, if we even go back to early times of, you know, gathering and hunting, yes, it's an instinctual for women to be in that caring role. Like we are caring for people, and that is our, so sometimes, you know, like, again, it's that leadership, the pressure, you know, one, I think it's our society, definitely. And then there's those internal messages that we get into our head, you know, and so we feel like we're not maybe being as well of a leader as we should be, because we have these internal messages in our head that are can be negative. And then that is also that cognitive restructuring to do is looking at, one, changing those negative thoughts that we have in our head about, like, if we, because, you know, things happen in life. And so, you know, but sometimes when a mistake happens and we are a woman in that leadership role, we immediately might think that we're a failure. And so reframing that from saying, like, you know, that was a mistake. What did I learn from it? And how do we move forward versus like, oh gosh, I'm such a failure. They're not going to think I'm good enough leader. You know, what are they going to do with my, you know? And so reframing the thoughts that we say to ourselves, you know, that self-care piece, so that because that pressure puts that increased stress on us, and stress is, again, something that our brain can identify as that part of that fight or flight. So it's recognizing that stress, you know, identifying those feelings, looking at what that thought process is when we're experiencing that feeling, and then reframing it if we have to, you know, putting the systems in place to regulate our nervous system.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's so, so, so important. I want to circle back to resilience and then we'll wrap up. Anchor, so that you call your company Anchor Resilience. Can you talk about anchoring and how anchoring and resilience kind of go together?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I grew up in Northeast Ohio, so I am very close to Lake Erie. And so lighthouses and anchoring have always kind of been like just part of what I really attract to. And anchoring and resilience, I see it as going together because, you know, in a storm, if, you know, a boat is, you know, in a storm, they might need to anchor to use the strength of the earth to kind of get through that storm. And so that's what I see as resilience, is that, you know, once you have resilience, you know, I never realized how resilient I was until my husband passed away. But then that's when I was like, oh, that's what that is that, you know, finding that strength to kind of continue to care for myself, care for my children, even though we were experiencing this humongous storm in our life. And so I see anchor and resilience as that, is that, and because once you learn it, then you have it to be able to handle any kind of storm that you may face. You know,
yeah, I love that. That's such it's a great analogy.
Yeah. And that's how I came up with my name, is, you know, using that anchor resilience, is because, yeah, I've always been attracted to, you know, boating and anchors and lighthouses. And
well, it's a great metaphor, because anchoring is a tool to help us, you know, identify things, and, you know, we'll remember that. It's kind of, you know, I love that. Yeah. Cause, you know, at the end of the day, resilience is, I always say, it's like a muscle that you build, right? And every time you go through something, your resilience muscle gets bigger.
Yeah.
And we all know, like, once you go through something, if something similar happens, you're like, oh, like, I got this. Like, the fear isn't as big because you've been through something similar. And you feel more safe, you know, addressing the issues or going through the situation. Like, you know, you're going to be okay because you've done it. You've been through something similar before.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Wow. I love what you're doing. This is incredible. Is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you'd like to share with the audience, and maybe throw out your website and, you know, how people can get a hold of you and, more importantly, work with you?
Yeah. Yeah. So I am on several different social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. I have a YouTube channel that I do put out some meditations that, or trainings, or, you know, other things. And that is a Surviving Shock on YouTube. And all of my social medias are Stacey Johnson Coaching. And my website is the same thing. It's stacyjohnsoncoaching.com. So people can reach out to me at any of those platforms. And I really enjoyed this conversation. And I think you've hit pretty much everything that you know, I work on. My program is a 12-week program. And, you know, I really start with emotional regulation. And then and that includes, you know, again, that nervous system and that cognitive restructuring. And then I, you know, we work on all these other tools that can kind of help along with the self-care in regards to, you know, either time management and, you know, building that, you know, and by the end of working with me, then they have this resilience roadmap that they can continue to use, you know, throughout their life, you know, because every day, you know, you might face a problem and resilience helps you get through it.
Mm, for sure. Wow. Beautiful. I love it. All right. Well, thank you so much, Stacey. I've totally enjoyed this conversation. You've got so much knowledge and wealth and life wisdom to share. And I just wish you the best moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. And for the audience, thank you for listening today. And I hope that you and your family are happy and healthy and that your lives are filled with peace, joy, and lots of resilience. Take care, everyone. Johnson, such a pleasure to have you on today. How's it going?
Sandy, thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for this conversation because I love everything that you're doing. I love all my guests, but it's like, I just love having these conversations with people that speak my language. So for the audience, Stacey is a women empowerment coach and resilience mentor, and she's also the founder of Anchor Resilience and Illumination Journey. So I love what you're doing. And we need more people in the world like you helping people because these are so, such important things to help us navigate in this crazy world.
Right. Yeah.
So before we dive in, because you've got so many great things that I want to touch on, can you give us your backstory and how you got to the point where you're like, I got to do this. I'm all in. I need to share my message and my wisdom with the world.
Yeah. So I've actually been a clinical therapist for 25 years in the state of Ohio. I've always worked in, I was a therapist and a supervisor in a alternative school. So I always worked with kids, but I always had some other mental health backgrounds. Like I was working in the local hospital in the ER. I've worked in a mental health center. And like it'll be almost 4 years in November. My husband had passed away. And
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. And at that time, I had to double down on some of my own skills, you know, from all the trainings that I've had. And so that's when, and I really, and it was about 6 months after he had passed that my daughter was like, Mom, you know, thank you. And I'm like, what? And she's like, you have shown us how to manage stress, you know, in a very positive way. Because shortly after he passed, you know, I went back to work. She graduated from high school. I got her into college, you know, and so the resilience that was shown to my kids, you know, and so then about 9 months to a year after he passed, I was like, I need more income. And so I started working as more in private practice therapy. I was doing some telehealth and still working at the school. And I was working with a lot of women that either had a loss themselves or a trauma or just, you know, working women that were overwhelmed and stressed and burnt out, that I decided, you know, I want to do more. I want to do more than what I'm doing. I'd been at the position that I was at for 20 years, and I really didn't see a lot of transformation. And so I wanted to see that transformation. I wanted to see the work that I was doing, helping others change the life that they were having. And so that's when I decided that I would resign from a 20-year position and start my coaching business. And that's when I you know, wrote my anchor, you know, I wrote a program for the my anchor resilience program. I created my illumination journey toolkit. And that's when I decided that I wanted to help more. I wanted to do more. And coaching allows me to get beyond the state of Ohio and help other women.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I was planning on becoming a therapist, right? And I found life coaching first. And so I got certified to be a life coach. And then it was like, you know, I want to help people go from here to the next level, right? You know, therapy serves a purpose. And it really, really helps. I mean, I was in therapy for over 15 years. And I'm so grateful for that experience and what I learned about myself and what I learned about the industry at the same time. And yeah, like people really, you know, the things that we go to therapy for, generally speaking, that's just a temporary thing. Once you work past it, then you need the tools. Like, oh yeah, by the way, yeah, now I feel better. Now I got to get out there and you know, move on in life. And what I wrote down here when you were talking about the resilience that your daughter was so grateful for that you showed after your husband passed, and I wrote resilience, finding the strength within, because that's really what it is. When you're talking about resilience on any level, whether it's in sports, because I work with athletes, so I always throw sports in, whether you're working with sports or, you know, having a death in the family or losing a job, or, you know, going through a divorce, all of that resilience is finding that strength that we all have within us.
Right.
Ah, I love numbers. Yeah. I just finished saying that and my phone just turned to 1111. Love it. but how did you find that strength? Because my gosh, you know, losing your husband and then having to, okay, you still got to be there for your daughter. And
right.
Do you have more than one child?
Yes, we have two daughters.
So you had to be there for both of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I did, you know, and they were having some medical conditions going on. So it was like managing that. 3 weeks before my husband passed, my stepfather passed, and my mom needed assistance at times. She's pretty independent, and but she struggles with an eye condition that has caused blindness in the one eye. So there are times that she needed, you know, me to drive her to her longer distance eye appointments or things like that. And at first, I think I just was like, this is what you have to do. Like,
right.
You just have to do this because this is what we do. You know, like you can't sit in bed. But then I really started to also recognize that like my self-care was important. So I got myself back into, you know, my own exercise classes. And I also learned that, you know, recognizing my own feelings. And so like the grief still existed, but I think that resilience piece allowed me to, you know, where I found that strength was one, recognizing my own emotions and, you know, recognizing that they are feelings that I can exist with, but I don't have to allow the feelings to control all of my thoughts or my actions, that I can be in charge. So if I felt sad, like I don't need to like lay in bed and dwell on what my life looked like, you know, or what was happening. What can I do now? What can I, you know, what can also be joyful even though I had the sadness, you know? And so looking at, you know, the thoughts that I had, having a different mindset, there was just a lot of things that I doubled down on. You know, because I am a therapist, I do have, you know, different techniques that I've learned that are also science-backed, you know, in regards to cognitive restructuring and mindset. But then my regulating my nervous system, I knew was important as well, you know. And so that's kind of where the strength, I think at first it came from, this is what you have to do.
Yeah.
Then when I was like, wait a minute, you know, like how do I also take care of myself when I also have to take care of everybody else? Because it would have been very easy. You know, we've had other friends that did not manage their loss as well, you know, like
sure.
their, you know, negative coping in regards to either staying in bed or using, you know, alcohol as like a relief. And my kids were like, you didn't do that, Mom. Like you just, you know, you just did. And at first I think that's what I just did. You know, that was like what my brain told me I needed to do. But then I really started to be like, no, I'm doing this, but there's also another way that I can also make sure that I'm taking care of myself too.
Yeah, for sure. And because of your therapy background, that really helped you. And at the same time, you've gone through this and you've experienced it. And that wisdom is so powerful to empower other women and other people to have that resilience. But when you were talking about, you know, sitting there thinking about, okay, here I am. My husband has passed. I've got two daughters. You know, I've got to get the one into college. You know, you've got to be there for them. They just lost their father, right? Which is a big deal. Big deal for any child, right?
Right.
And it had me thinking about, you know, humans are the only creature that we're aware of, but we're pretty aware that we are the only creature on this planet that is able to reflect. And it's a good thing, and it can be a really bad thing, right? It's nice to sit and think of all the wonderful memories, and it really messes us up because we tend to dwell on, oh my gosh, I lost my job, or oh, what if I had done this, or what if I had, you know, the what ifs come in, and learning how to navigate that, that's where you come into play. So can you just talk a little bit about how you dive into that emotional resilience with your clients?
Yes. You know, and I spent, you know, the first couple weeks, I know I asked myself, like, what if I would have done this? What if this? And I also kept asking myself, like, what if something happens to me? Because now it's real. Bad things can happen. And so I was like,
it's that wake up call, like, oh shit, this is life. This is real life happening to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Bad things can happen. And so what if something happens to me before, you know, like who's going to make sure that they're okay? So recognizing one thing that I work with my clients is that cognitive reframing, you know, catching those negative thoughts and then reframing it, but then also focusing on, because the one thing about, again, humans is that our brain likes to focus on the problems.
Yep.
It's in our
DNA.
Right. Our brain
it's not going away. It's there. You can't like rewrite that. We don't know how to do that. We can't do any gene resequencing to get that out. I wish we could.
Right.
But it serves a purpose, right?
It does. It serves us a purpose. But those what if statements or like, you know, what happens to me also is one of our ways that our brain, again, is trying to solve that problem. But it's not a problem that we have to solve now. And so I started saying, instead of what if, I started saying, what can I do right now? And so then like, and that's what I help my clients do is like focus, you know, becoming more mindful, using mindfulness to be more grounded and in the moment. Because if we're grounded more in the moment, we learn that we can let these thoughts of what ifs or I should have done this, we teach our brain to let those float away and focus more on this moment. So getting grounded and using mindfulness allows us to be more centered in that moment. And that's what I did was for myself, but that I teach my clients is restructuring that brain, learning, retraining it that we are in control of, you know, what we're thinking right now. And that's what I did, you know, like when I first thought like, what happens to me? Well, I can't control my own destiny. I for sure can't do that. But what I can control was making sure that I had things, you know, in order enough for them. You know, my fear was based on like, okay, emotionally, I don't know what I can do for them if something would happen to me prematurely like they experienced with their father, but I can make sure that I have my finances in order so that they are financially in a spot to handle things. And so that's what I made sure of. That's the part that I could control. And so when I help my clients, and like I did with myself, is focusing on what we do have control over instead of focusing on all those things that we have no control over.
Right. And that's such a great point to bring up, Stacey, because there's so many things that are out of our control. But people, they get so caught up in that moment and thinking about this. And you brought up a good point. We can control our thoughts. And all it is a practice. You just have to practice it every day, just like you're practicing golf or you're practicing, for me, I practice tennis. I practice happiness. I've been practicing happiness for over 35 years, and I never knew that that was a practice. I choose to be happy every single day. It's a choice. Are there days when I made the other choice? Absolutely. Am I happy every day? No, I'm not.
Right.
But I know how to get back to it. But there are days, you know, there are days when you just want to just sit there, and that's okay, because sometimes we have to sit in it so that we don't go over it, around it, you know, or whatever. You got to work through those feelings. And sometimes it does take a day to do that. And that's okay. And we have to give ourselves grace.
Right.
And understand that we can move forward.
Right.
And things don't have to be the way they are right now. Right.
Right. And again, because problems, you know, our brain focuses on the problems, and the problems tend to be things that we sometimes can't control. And so, you know, we can control being happy. And so the other thing that I work on, and I worked on in the beginning after losing my husband, but I always tell my clients, sandwich your day. Sandwich your day with, identify three things that you're grateful for in the morning or you appreciate. And then you end your day reflecting on three things that brought you joy or three things that you accomplished during the day, big or small.
Yes.
You know? And so then again, it's retraining our brain to focus on things that brought us joy or make us happy versus, oh, those three things went wrong today, you know? And so retraining our brain is the big piece.
Yeah. Well, I'm a type A, high achiever. And so I realized at one point, at the end of the day, I'd be like, I didn't do this, I didn't do this, I didn't do this, I didn't do this. Because for me, I place so much value on what I accomplish. And right. So now at the end of the day, I'm like, oh my gosh, I got two loads of laundry done. Yes. You know, right. And I did this and I did that. And that's all I focus on, and I don't allow it. So I want to get into nervous system regulation. But before that, you talked about that control. And like so often we feel like things are out of our control. And for me, I do have anxiety, and sometimes I can control it, and sometimes it's hard. And especially when there's so many things going on around me, and I get to a point where I feel like there's so much that's out of my control, and I start to feel like I don't know what to do. So what I learned decades ago, like that's the day I organize my pantry. That's the day I organize my closet, and I do something, and a therapist told me this. I focus my energy when I'm in that state on what can I control? What can I do right now to control? Because it helps me feel better. Right. And in a way, I didn't understand this, but in a way, that was me regulating my nervous system.
Right. Yep.
And I worked with a coach for 18 months, and we did some exercises on that. And I was completely, and that's why I have this podcast, because there's so much I don't know. And I, you know, I've been on this path for 35 years. I'm like, oh, there's a thing called nervous system regulation. Like, I had no idea, right? Like the 15 years of therapy, they didn't bring it up, so I didn't know. But now I get that, like that organizing or organizing my pantry or, you know, cleaning out my closet, like that's a way to you know, regulate my nervous system. What are some other things that people can do when they're in that state of feeling like everything is out of control? Because we all have been there. And it's a scary place to be.
Right, right.
What are some ways that we can, you know, regulate that nervous system?
Yeah. So, you know, I The way I look at my nervous system is that everything is connected, right? So our brain, we're talking about our brain and how powerful it is. And so when those days that you were, you know, you feel like you're out of control or you can't control anything, that distraction of focusing on what you can control was partly taking your brain away from thinking about all of those things, that noise out here, but
that
then
I can't control.
Right. So your brain, you distracted it and you took it away from the fear, because the things that we can't control tend to be fear-based.
1,000%.
Yep. And so when we distract our brain, we are telling ourselves that I'm safe. Right now I'm safe and there is nothing to be afraid of. But then also the physical piece was regulating your nervous system, because our nervous system it's all connected. And so
right.
When I work on nervous system regulation, you know, sometimes my clients will be like, well, I exercise, but I'm still feeling all anxious. I said, because your brain itself believes that there's still that fear. There's that perception that there's the fear is still there.
So which is the fight or flight, right?
Right. So we have to work together. We have to do the cognitive piece and maybe that physical piece, you know? And so I also, you know, will work with my clients in working on like a self-care plan, because putting a self-care plan into our day can also be that piece that's regulating our nervous system. And so like even just some deep breaths during the middle of the day, you know, or if we're having those thoughts in the middle of the day, you know, it's like, you know, you were in a position that, yeah, you could distract yourself and maybe organize your pantry. But if you are someone that maybe you're a nurse and you know, you can't like just go and organize the pantry that day. So what can you do is, one, can I focus on right now? You know, like what is my problem that I need to focus on now? So again, we might be able to distract our brain about, you know, taking it away from that fear. But then also sometimes I say, you know, deep breaths. I use the square box breathing, where we focus on a box and, you know, breathe in for four, let it out, hold it for four, let it out for four, hold it for four, do that a couple times. But then also sometimes we also need to like signal to our brain that I'm fine. And so even breathing with like a, and like moving our hands signals to our brain, like I'm letting out this worry. It's not mine to focus on. So I look at different techniques, physical activities, but also that cognitive restructuring to help regulate that nervous system. Because again, our nervous system is it's perceiving that there's fear. So our fight or flight is kicked in. And then, you know, that basically the nervous system is our one side of our brain. The one side of our nervous system is for rest and digest. And the other nervous part of our nervous system is that fight or flight. And so they're fighting against each other when our nervous system is dysregulated and we can't. So it's that restructuring, but then also those relaxation techniques or something that physical that will help our body indicate that we don't need to be in that fight or flight, that there's nothing to be afraid of right now.
Mm. So I want to completely shift gears, but I feel like it's all related. And that is, and this is just another topic that you work with women on, and I love this because I think it's really, really important for women, is leadership under pressure. Because even if you're if you are grateful enough and fortunate enough to be a stay-at-home mom, okay, that's a leadership role.
Right.
All right. You're leading your children. You're leading your family. So I don't want to minimize that at all, because I did it for 10 years and I'm so grateful and wouldn't take it back for the world. Leadership under pressure, it's so hard. And I feel like for women, it's even harder, because we are wired that maternal instinct is in everybody, whether you have children or not, whether you want to have children or not. It is. If you're female, you've got that maternal instinct. You want to take care of people. And it's very difficult when you have that pressure. So What types of things can women do, or any leader, to help them to still be stepping up as the leader that they want to be for everybody as you're going through so much pressure in your life?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, and you're right. I mean, even from the earlier on times, you know, if we even go back to early times of, you know, gathering and hunting, yes, it's an instinctual for women to be in that caring role. Like, we are caring for people, and that is our, so sometimes, you know, like, again, it's that leadership, the pressure, you know, one, I think it's our society, definitely. And then there's those internal messages that we get into our head, you know, and so we feel like we're not maybe being as well of a leader as we should be, because we have these internal messages in our head that are, can be negative. And then that is also that cognitive restructuring to do, is looking at, one, changing those negative thoughts that we have in our head about, like, if we, because, you know, things happen in life. And so, you know, but sometimes when a mistake happens and we are a woman in that leadership role, we immediately might think that we're a failure. And so reframing that from saying, like, you know, that was a mistake. What did I learn from it? And how do we move forward, versus like, oh gosh, I'm such a failure. They're not going to think I'm good enough leader. You know, what are they going to do with my, you know? And so reframing the thoughts that we say to ourselves, you know, that self-care piece, so that, because that pressure puts that increased stress on us. And stress is, again, something that our brain can identify as that part of that fight or flight. So it's recognizing that stress, you know, identifying those feelings, looking at what that thought process is when we're experiencing that feeling, and then reframing it if we have to, you know, putting the systems in place to regulate our nervous system.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's so, so, so important. I want to circle back to resilience, and then we'll wrap up. Anchor. So you call your company Anchor Resilience. Can you talk about anchoring and how anchoring and resilience kind of go together?
Yeah. You know, I grew up in Northeast Ohio, so I am very close to Lake Erie. And so lighthouses and anchoring have always kind of been like just part of what I really attract to. And anchoring and resilience, I see it as going together because, you know, in a storm, if, you know, a boat is, you know, in a storm, they might need to anchor to use the strength of the earth to kind of get through that storm. And so that's what I see as resilience, is that, you know, once you have resilience, you know, I never realized how resilient I was until my husband passed away. But then that's when I was like, oh, that's what that is that, you know, finding that strength to kind of continue to care for myself, care for my children, even though we were experiencing this humongous storm in our life. And so I see anchor and resilience as that. And because once you learn it, then you have it to be able to handle any kind of storm that you may face. You know,
I love that. That's such it's a great analogy.
Yeah. And that's how I came up with my name, is, you know, using that anchor resilience, is because, yeah, I've always been attracted to, you know, boating and anchors and lighthouses. And
well, it's a great metaphor, because anchoring is a tool to help us, you know, identify things, and, you know, we'll remember that. It's kind of, you know, I love that. Yeah. Cause, you know, at the end of the day, resilience is, I always say, it's like a muscle that you build, right? And every time you go through something, your resilience muscle gets bigger.
Yeah.
And we all know, like, once you go through something, if something similar happens, you're like, oh, like, I got this. Like, the fear isn't as big because you've been through something similar, and you feel more safe, you know, addressing the issues or going through the situation, like, you know, you're going to be okay because you've done it. You've been through something similar before.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Wow. I love what you're doing. This is incredible. Is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you'd like to share with the audience, and maybe throw out your website and, you know, how people can get a hold of you and, more importantly, work with you?
Yeah. Yeah. So I am on several different social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. I have a YouTube channel that I do put out some meditations that or trainings or, you know, other things. And that is a Surviving Shock on YouTube. And all of my social medias are Stacy Johnson Coaching. And my website is the same thing. It's stacyjohnsoncoaching.com. So people can reach out to me at any of those platforms. And yeah, I really enjoyed this conversation. And I think you've hit pretty much everything that,
awesome,
you know, I work on. My program is a 12-week program. And, you know, I really start with emotional regulation. And then, and that includes, you know, again, that nervous system and that cognitive restructuring. And then I, you know, we work on all these other tools that can kind of help along with the self-care in regards to, you know, either time management and, you know, building that, you know, and by the end of working with me, then they have this resilience roadmap that they can continue to use, you know, throughout their life. You know, because every day, you know, you might face a problem, and resilience helps you get through it.
Mm, for sure. Wow. Beautiful. I love it. All right. Well, thank you so much, Stacy. I've totally enjoyed this conversation. You've got so much knowledge and wealth and life wisdom to share. And I just wish you the best moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. And for the audience, thank you for listening today. And I hope that you and your family are happy and healthy, and that your lives are filled with peace, joy, and lots of resilience. Take care, everyone.